Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto our Lord and God today, as the psalmist has so well stated in Psalm 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways, did I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. In Jesus' name, amen. KJR0305 comments with a thank you for episode number 219, yesterday's episode. And she says that one more person was added to their house church on Sundays, and that they are encouraged to be able to discuss gospel episodes after they are published. And I am very much encouraged by these words. So thank you, my sister in Christ. May God's peace and blessing be upon your fellowship, and may He use it for His honor and glory alone. And I'm encouraged, very much encouraged, to know that more and more are looking to Christ alone as the Lord uses this work He has called me to for His glory and for His glory alone. And I can't say that enough. So many want to be in the commercial Christian spotlight and not the light of Christ. With the commercial spotlight comes many offensive words that are contrary to Christ in order to establish their own Christianity, their own houses of Dagon, which is the title of today's episode, number 220, Houses of Dagon. But first we're going to look at James chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. We watched a documentary last night, my wife and I did not realize that the prosperity gospel was as corrupt as it is. I knew of its corruption, just not the depths of it. This documentary, entitled American Gospel, does a good job in exposing this Christ plus teaching versus Christ alone biblical teaching, which we strive to do with every single episode here. Christ alone, Christ alone, Christ alone, Christ plus nothing. Because it's these Christ plus doctrines that continue to grow with each false Christ that rises, such as the Christian nationalism that we've been highlighting recently, which is just another version of this prosperity, name it, claim it, we are in control gospels. And then I'm the one who is cursed. And then I'm the one who's called a heretic for exposing these contradictions within the many false gospels in this world. James 3:9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. It is only if and when you are Christ alone that this competition that we see that exists between these Christ plus gospels become worthless, vain, vanity. And it removes the temptation of bitterness and envy. I do not envy any of it. I do not envy the commercial Christian spotlight at all. I don't want no part of it. I'd rather remain in the shadows, in the wilderness, preaching the word of God in truth and in spirit, and by His power and His power alone, which brings Him all the glory. James 3:13-18, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Why is this? Because the truth speaks for itself. It defends itself. A Christ plus something gospel becomes a house of Dagon and not a house of God. A house of Dagon that must be defended by men because it is not defended by God. It is condemned by God. Therefore, men must defend it on their own accord. 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. You will see that these false gospels can only be supported by their political and religious gods, such as the Ark of God was attempted to be set by Dagon in the house of Dagon. These false gospels and political gods will fall on their faces every single time before the light of Christ. Verse 3, and when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. They never learn. They just set him back up instead of repenting. This is called pride. And it's because of this pride that the hand of the Lord becomes more heavy upon America. And the Antichrist will blame the ark bearers, those who are Christ alone, for their political God falling upon their face, their religious God falling upon their face. They will blame the elect, and they will want the elect to be removed from this nation. And until then, it seems that our pestilences have only begun. Verse 12, and the men that died not were smitten with emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. No wonder why we hear of things such as monkeypox even today. I think it's only just begun. Right now, there's a congressional candidate who proclaims she will be the first Jewish woman in Congress from her district if she's elected. And she just posted on Gab. Her name's Laura Loomer. She says, watch, it's time to flip some tables over in the name of God, truth, justice, and righteous indignation for the sake of implementing our America First agenda in the United States Capitol. She says, great event tonight at Freedom Fellowship Church in Wildwood, Florida, for a rally in support of my campaign with Real Stu Peters. So here's a woman who is an open antichrist. She refuses to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is indeed her Messiah and King. And I want you to notice that the language is used to appease the America First Christian nationalists. They're even holding these political rallies in so-called Christian churches. And guess what? They're falling for it. I even watched a clip where Nick Fuentes, a self-professed incel America First leader who supposedly opposes Zionism, yet he was singing the praises for this congressional candidate who is Antichrist. Now listen, I pray for Laura. I pray that she will repent and come to know the Lord, and may the Lord be working in her heart for all I know. But until then, I do not care if she's holding an ark. When will we stop falling to those who are even openly antichrist, who use our truth from the Word of God to promote their political agendas? When will we wake up to this? Because all we're going to continue to see is emrods in this country unless we repent. And believe me, these political platforms are not preaching repentance. A disciple JJ emailed me a proclamation 97 from Abraham Lincoln, and I've read this in the past. And this proclamation was appointing a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And a paragraph reads, whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. But instead of houses of God being established with this truth and this basis of repentance that was once preached in this country and even pronounced in a proclamation, more houses of Dagon who use our religious speech and phrases and even quote from the Word of God as they boast themselves holding this ark of God. And they rise up with an attempt to capture the entire religious and political establishment. This is nothing new. A Christ First brother, Rick, sent me a video this morning that I'm going to embed for our email subscribers in 220 Houses of Dagon, which can be found at gospel.com. It's on my Substack page, which is also at andrewhorvel.substack.com. But the video is entitled Jacobinism, A Revolution of Terror by the John Birch Society. It's 7 minutes long. Definitely check it out, because here you're going to see the two wings from the same bird and how they attempt to take over the entire political and religious spectrum. These people know what they're doing. And this is the reason why America is in the rebellious state that it is. Are you going to disagree with me that America is rebellious? Clearly, America has rebelled against God. Ezekiel, in our reading this morning, 2, verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, I sent thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. So here we understand and know that America indeed is rebellious. So of course, God has raised up preachers to call this country to repentance. Now whether this nation listens or not, it does not matter, because we're commanded to preach the gospel regardless. People will either repent or they will gnash their teeth with pride. Either way, they will not be able to resist the truth. Ezekiel 2:5, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Someone attempted to prove a literal point, that in essence that you could play with literal scorpions and snakes as a believer with no harm. It's this type of erroneous application. And then they even went on with further application that the enemy could not harm us physically. You might want to think again concerning this physical harm. And they referenced Luke 10:19 to support this idea. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So it's here between Luke and Ezekiel. It is very clear that physical harm and suffering is part of the faithful service of the gospel, yet our souls can never be touched. They can harm the body, but they cannot harm the soul. Ezekiel 2:6, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost dwell amongst scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Do not be afraid of the physical harm that they can bring upon us. They cannot harm the souls of God's people, my friends. Therefore, be bold as it pertains to the truth. Do not tell people what they want to hear. Tell people what they need to hear, and that is the unadulterated gospel. Ezekiel 2:8, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Yet, preachers all across this country, as we see in this documentary, are ticklers of ears and tell people what they want to hear instead of telling people the truth, even if the truth hurts. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And when I looked, behold, an hand was set unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. This morning I have preached the word of God to you, my friends. words that should be preached from the houses of God, the same houses of God that will defy the houses of Dagon. There is no confusion. The house of God brings a truth of peace. And with that peace often comes much suffering. Don't let anyone else tell you any different. Don't let the houses of Dagon confuse you, my friend. Psalm 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways, did I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all of my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove the stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. I pray that this episode of Gospeled was a blessing to you. And if you would like to become a team member of this Christ work, simply pray. Pray that God would use this podcast mightily for His glory. Share the episodes wherever you can and support with a subscription if you're able to do so. We are in this together, Christ friends. Keep up the good fight.